Eduard Brunner, Oleg Meissenberg and the Borodin Quartet with the Overture in Hebrew Themes, Opus 34 by Prokofiev. Well, so to our Mediterranean Christmas, drawing on our common roots in the religions of the Middle East. Joel Cohen brings his Boston Camerata together with the Shark Ensemble from the Arab world, and we will hear an extraordinary confluence of music. But first of all, welcome from Boston, even though I know you're no stranger to Europe.
Hi.
What was the genesis of this, just very briefly? What is the mixture? Because we're not talking about striving officiously to make strange connections. We are talking about real common roots, aren't
we? I'm trying to make real connections about real things that happen, but there are often big surprises because we have such a blinded view of our histories and our backgrounds. The piece we're going to listen to next, and I thought it would be appropriate because of the Prokofiev that's just followed, has some of the same scalar elements the Prokofiev does. It has that augmented second, which is people think of as quote-unquote Hebraic. The text is about the star that shines in the east over the cradle. But since this is a Jewish adaptation from the Balkans of the Christian legend, the baby in the cradle is Father Abraham and not the baby Jesus. But it's a 19th century treatment, a Jewish treatment of a Christian legend. And the scale, even though we think of it as quote-unquote Jewish, as some people do, is actually the Arabic scale of Hejaz al-Kabir. So you have the three religions rolled up into one in this particular cut.
Después de oír al rey, se fue. Y he aquí la estrella que habían visto en el oriente iba delante de ellos hasta que llegó y se detuvo sobre donde estaba el niño. Al ver la estrella, se regocijaron con gran alegría.
Oh,
Boston Camerata, the Shark Ensemble, directed by Joel Cohen. If you can work out exactly what they were singing about, I think I'll give you an award, because there was definitely a mixture of Hebrew and Spanish, and goodness knows what
That's
else
right.
there, Joel.
Avraham Avinu, which means Abraham, my father, Padre querido, dear beloved father, Padre bendito, luz de haolam, light of the world. So there it is.
Thank you. You win the prize, definitely. So this comes from... It's a Sephardic piece, isn't
That's
it?
That's right,
But from where?
From Sarajevo, actually.
Ah, right.
And it was collected before the horrible civil war they had. And, of course, the Jews who were exiled from Spain in 1492 kept the Spanish language. That particular tune may or may not be an ancient tune, but certainly the approach to music making, I think you can imagine it somehow being there in medieval Spain, with perhaps a bit of a Turkish influence in that particular melody, you know. But definitely there's the story of the Star of Bethlehem, which is...
Yes.
And the religions in that part of Europe were quite syncretistic, you know, and so that the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews would borrow from each other's imagery.
How much is there of that once you started to investigate the cross influences that there are musically?
There's so much. That's why it's important, I think, to hear some of this material, because we're so much into our categories and our boxes. I remember doing this very piece for the in New York, and the New York Times critic, who was then Mr. Rothstein, a wonderful man, very very deeply devout Jewish fellow, said this can't exist. This does not happen. I don't know how Mr. Cohen created the piece. I didn't. It's a piece. Another example is this Andalusian carol we do, where my Syrian lute player plays gypsy style guitar and does it because there's so much in common with the gypsy music and Arabic music, and the imagery is of the shepherds at the cradle. But this time they're not shepherds. They're gypsies. The gypsies trudging through the snow, and you can feel their pain and their sorrow. So it's not the typical shepherd song. It has some of that. It has the sense of those peoples who were dislocated and who went through all kinds of things. And the consoling element is, of course, the religious salvation.
Yes. Well, I was going to say that is what it comes down to, isn't it? That
yeah.
the hope of someone being a savior, the hope that,
yes.
that everybody carries, however displaced they are.
I'd say the hope at Christmas, whether you're a believer or not, is that there's the story about the birth of a child. And that's the hope of humanity, is those new lives that come out and you try to nourish them.
Well, Boston Camerata stretches far and wide. You go to the Renaissance, and we know you go to the 19th century for some of these. How far back do you go for these pieces to find the roots and the different influences of Christmas?
Well, the earliest datable pieces on this CD are 12th century, and I'd say perhaps 60% of the CD is actually medieval, 12th, 13th century from old manuscripts. And then I wanted to break the early music mold because, I mean, although I love it, I'm not denying that that's where we come from. I just wanted, for human reasons, because of the time and the place we're in, I wanted to go beyond the Middle Ages. So we have several other pieces which have musical or stylistic or literary ties to the Middle Ages, which were actually sung in more recent periods. So basically we're going 12th century through the 19th century.
It's interesting when you talked about the critic in New York denying this sort of... these different influences that make up something that is real.
Yes.
Do you find that among many people?
It's simple denial.
Or denial or perhaps even surprise.
Surprise and hopefully joyful surprise. But in the cases of people who are deeply invested in this various legends of whatever they're coming from, people say, Rothstein said, oh, this doesn't exist. It can't be. We've had several examples of that, you know, and as we go through, and what you simply do is you're witness to a reality. Yeah. That's all.
Well, I suppose there is always that slight temptation to feel superior about some great strain of music.
Let me give you an example. This is the music era. The greatest medieval rabbi in the Jewish tradition is Moses Maimonides, and he's also very well known to Christians because he introduced the influence of Christian theologians. It's not generally known that the language he wrote most of his stuff in is Arabic. You know, it's just the way we owe each other different things, and we have to admit it.
What are we going to hear next?
Let's talk about the gypsies at the cradle. Here is the story of the shepherds of the cradle from the Gospel according to Luke, treated in Spanish gypsy musical dialect. With, by the way, the same augmented seconds we heard in the Prokofiev piece and in the Sephardic piece from the Balkans. And here it's the gypsy trudging through the snow.
una estrella del fiel que ha caído entre las pajas. Pobre gitanilla, va a pedir santo nieve, va a pedir santo nieve, pudiendo pisar rosas y claveles, rosas y claveles. Los pastores en Belén todos van a cortar leña para calentar al niño que nació en la noche buena. Pobre gitanilla, va pisando nieve, va pisando nieve, pudiendo pisar rosas y claveles, rosas y claveles. Yo soy un pobre gallego que vengo de la Galicia y al niño de Dios le traigo lienzo para una camisa. Pobre
in Belen, Tocan al Fuego, and Boston Camerata Shark Ensemble, and Joel Cohen, and three extraordinary voices there, three female voices, one Spanish, one British, I'm glad to say,
Emily.
And one Berber.
And that's right. So you've got, we were saying, you know, one of the unstated goals in many early music performances is homogeneity, which I think has its value. I'm not against the idea of it, but sometimes one says, well, suppose we went for contrast and diversity within a performance. Wouldn't that replicate certain historical situations, like the court of Alfonso el Sabio, you know, where he had 13 Christians, he had 13 Muslims, he had 2 Jews, you know, and you have to assume that people from different backgrounds would have different ways of performing.
Well, you look at the at European history, when at other times there was a great deal of tolerance and people living very well and easily together and assimilating and creating together. Yeah. And yet this fractures every now and again. So do you find the sort of creativity in the fractures or in the peaceful times?
Well, maybe I'll speak now as an American looking at European culture and loving European culture and valuing it. Maybe it's interesting to find our own history on our side of the ocean where American popular music is very diverse and is really an enormous melting pot. And thinking, and it's enriched us. It's made American popular culture, at least, and its good side. I'm not talking about the trash, but the really good stuff. It's made it really, really wonderful. And I'm thinking maybe it's interesting to find those moments also in Europe. And maybe that's something we can do on our side of the ocean with our lack of tradition and lack of respect. Maybe that can be useful.
Well, thank you for doing all the academic digging and reminding us.
Well, there's a lot of digging to be done as well. We did a lot of work on the Cantigas of Alfonso Sabia, which, of course, it's the major Spanish manuscript of the 13th
He must have been an
century.
Extraordinary man, mustn't he?
He did. How long
did he reign?
Quite a long reign, I believe, 25, 30 years. Yeah. I could be wrong about that. He died in battle with his son, like David and Absalom. His mother was German, and he called himself the king of the three religions. He surrounded himself with Muslim and Jewish scholars. And you see in his manuscripts, not only of the musical manuscripts, but he has others of astronomy and of how to play chess and so forth. You see people in Arabic dress and in Jewish dress at his court. So apparently he liked this. He's a devout Catholic. And his cantigas are all about the miracles of the Virgin Mary the wonders she works, the mother of God, you know. But clearly the ethos for the performance was something quite different from the more rarefied atmosphere of a Renaissance choir or a Baroque orchestra. I think they must have been pretty hot, those players. That's my guess.
And also inquisitive about each other's traditions.
They must have been.
And interested in real fusion and really making things together.
He had to have been. We can never know in detail what the performance ethos was. But I'm convinced something was going on. And the something was not simply, I love King's Chapel Choir, but it wasn't that, you see? It was something different. There was something more closer to the earth, I think.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, I'm sure there are a lot more journeys to be made. I mean, this is just one CD, but I suspect there'll be a lot more where this comes from.
Will there be
a development?
We'll keep going.
And you've got plenty, of course, because Renaissance is another part of your weave.
The next program is for the Gardner Museum in Boston. It's in a few weeks.
And what a wonderful place. I spent part of last Christmas in there.
It's
mesmerized.
Great. Well, did you see that picture of the Sultan of by Gentile Bellini? Yeah. They're doing an exhibit around that, and we're doing the show. It's going to be about Venice and Constantinople. In the 15th century, with some of the same musicians as we see on this recording.
Well, it'll be perfect. Perfect place to have this great fusion. Joel, it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
This is on the Warner label, so get yourself a different view of Christmas and remind yourself of all our European richness that we've got. But we finish with a little salutary tale.
Yes, this is a contemporary parable. Actually, it's a medieval parable. It's about a judge who's so corrupt that the devil's tried to take him. And since there's no newspapers and no radio, he has to call on the Virgin Mary, and she takes pity on his soul, and he dies, of course, because he deserves to, but his soul will go to heaven despite his sins.
So, well, at least he got redemption, and I hope he was
sorry.
He
got redeemed, and he has a hot song to go with it.
Joel, thank you very much indeed.
Esta es como Santa María tolle un joís aos diabos que o levaban. E tornou a esa casa e díxelle que se manifestase que a outro día había de morrer. Sempre rares, fortes e...
So that be, let that be a lesson to you if you're someone in high office. Don't mess around. A little salutary tale about a naughty judge. Como somos per consuelo, Boston Camerata and the Arabic Shark Ensemble, directed by Joel Cohen. And their new CD is called A Mediterranean Christmas, reminding us of our myriad cultural connections. And it's just out on the Warner label. 22 minutes to 7 o'clock is the time. You're listening to In Tune here on BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM.